There's something that will set all of us off. And if you don't protect the heart, that one faith, it will eventually cause you to turn your back on God. So let's go right to our notes. Amen. Our cover says, one thing can change your life. And the psalm said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I be happy. All right, so let's just go to our scripture, Psalms 27:4. Also, I'm going to add Philippians 3:13 after we read these three. That's concerning Paul, okay? So verse 4 reads of Psalms 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So he said, this is the only thing I desire. David said, it as he writes his song, said, more important than wealth, possessions. I just want to be in God's presence. That's the one thing I desire, is to be in his presence. And you know, it's so important that we all should desire that. And you know, it's so important when we read the scripture also. When you read scripture to us, when you read one thing, it doesn't have the same spiritual significance that it had to the Hebrews. Because when they start mentioning one, when they, you know, this is the culture of the Hebrews, it automatically goes back to Deuteronomy 6:4. Behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So when David is speaking one, makes his reference to one, to us it seems like he's thinking about one thing, but to the Hebrews, he's going back to behold, the Lord our God is one. It's talking about the unity of being in God. Amen? Mark 10:21 reads, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. All right? And Luke 10:41-42. I'll bring these down when we get down a little further. All right? But we still focusing on what? One thing. So one thing you desire, and that's one thing you don't have. Right? So if you, that one thing that thou lackest, if you can just get rid of it, he said, you will have treasures in heaven, not on earth, and come pick up your cross and follow me. What is it? One thing. Luke 10:41-42, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but what? If in our same life, if we could ever realize the importance, the significance, how germane the word of God is. He said, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So when you get God's word, nobody can take it away. Trials, tests, temptations, you won't take it away. We can see from these few, let's go to Philippians. I want to just go to Philippians 3, read Philippians 3:13. All right. It's on the screen for you all, but I didn't put it in my notes. And it actually came to me after I finished the notes, and I wasn't going to reprint all that. But Philippians 3:13 reads, brethren, this is Paul writing, I count on myself to have apprehended, but what? How many? One thing. It's so important. One thing. It's, that one always points to God. Right? In the evening and the morning was the first thing. It's all, the one, whenever you read one, it's always signifying and points to God, okay? He said, but there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. And the next verse said, I press. So sometimes overcome that one thing is a press. Don't we have to overcome it, amen? All right, then we'll go back to our notes. We can see from these few scriptures that one thing will what? Save us, and one thing will cause us to turn our backs on God and go to hell. How many?
One thing.
One thing. You know, and the devil knows every last one of our weaknesses. Amen. One thing. We also know from studying the life of Job, I mentioned this, but I just want to go to the scripture so we can read, and I want to break this down a little further, you know, because I mentioned it quite a few times, but I don't know if we catch the significance. Job never verbalized his fear. But he internalized it. But it was something, it was like something that just ate at the core of his soul or spirit, this one thing. Right? He never verbalized it, but we're going to read it here. We also know from studying the life of Job that the fear of poverty, one thing has the uncanny power to what? Manifest itself openly. Even if it's never verbalized, as we will see in reading Job 3:23-26. This is Job, and this is how he lost everything. As he had one tragic report after another, after he has 10 funerals, after his body has been afflicted, after his wife said, curse God and die, Job asked, why is life given to a man whose way is hid and whom God has his end? Now this is what the devil used, saying that God has Job in and wouldn't let him touch him, right? So Job said, I was his then. He said, but now my way is hid from God. For my sign cometh before I eat, and my roaring are poured out like the water. For the thing which I, how many, what is it? The thing which I greatly fear is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is, did he ever express it? No. But it's like many of us, when you have that internal thing that just keeps eating at you, if you don't conquer it, it will manifest itself. Amen? You know, when we first got saved, they used to talk about the power of suggestion. When other people would suggest something, you wouldn't even have it on your mind, a temptation or a test. After they mentioned it, all of a sudden, their test becomes your test. Right? So we have to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to be exposed to the things that God has intended us for us to be exposed to. Alright? He says, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. So Job said, I never verbalized it, I never expressed it. He said, but I feared trouble. He said, I feared this one thing I was afraid of, and now it has manifested itself. Well, that's why as children of God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but love, power, and sound, and a sound mind. Whenever we allow fear to drive us, fear is not of God. All right, now I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's stay with the notes. This verse in the original Hebrew reads, I feared a fear, and it came upon me. That's the original text God reads. He said, I feared a fear, and it came upon me. The question that we should all really consider is, why would we fear anything if God is with us? Right? The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of what shall we fear? Amen. We shouldn't fear anything because the Lord is with us. We must guard ourselves from fear, because what we fear will eventually manifest itself in our lives. I have observed and speak to saints that sometimes we have greater faith in our fears than we do in God's word. Think about that. Because we will disobey God's word because of fear. So that means we have greater faith in our fears than in God's word. Just think about that. And God will say, well, I want you to do this, obey me. And immediately we will go the opposite because of fear of what might of the unknown outcome. That means we have more confidence or faith in our fear than in God. Think about that. Isn't there something? How can fear drive us? How can we have more confidence or faith in our fear than in God's word? Let's pause for a moment and deeply consider this. Once again, I want to repeat that sometimes we have greater faith in our fear than we do in, just think about that in your spare time. When you're wrestling with a situation and you won't go forward and make a step for God because of fear, right? We can allow fear to stagnate us or strangle us or make us sit still. Amen? The word fear is a Hebrew word, pihah, and it means to be dread, probably awe, or they need to change, deeply dread. And I think this is Brown Roberts Briggs Hebrew lexicon meaning, okay? Not just any lexicon, but this is the original Hebrew. Shaken down to one's psyche, internal shape, this one's fear. It's just, is it outside? No, where's it at? On the inside, it's an internal shaking. Terror of immediate danger, which is beyond one's control. Anything we have in your spiritual life is never beyond God's control. So fear tells us the thing you fear is greater than God. Amen? We should never allow our fears to have a greater influence and impact on us than God's word. Now we just deal with what Job said, the thing that I fear and the thing that I was afraid of, all right? The word afraid is the Hebrew word yekar, and it means to fear a specific occurrence, such as catching a disease, an unfortunate calamity. You know, you ever talk to people and say, I'm just so afraid that this is going to happen, and then guess what? It happens. As a child of God, we should never have fear. We should never allow fear to dominate us. Amen. Even if something goes wrong, the Bible says, and we know that what? All things work together for good. So we should never allow fear. Well, why did you go through that? I was afraid. That should never be a part of our vocabulary, because that said that we have more confidence in our fear than in doing our God. Do we all understand that? Amen. Amen. Of being delivered into the power of specific people. While the pagan fear speaks to a general sense of fear, the word yekar, which he said he was afraid, involved a specific thing being feared. Fear will attract the object of the fear. Right? Job never expressed this fear. He never said that he feared losing everything. But it was something that he wrestled with constantly. And what happened? It did what? Manifested itself. All right, so we have to be so careful. If we're going to focus and get caught up in anything, get caught up in faith in God, let that manifest and not our fears. So are y'all with me on that? The big question that we need to address is, how do we stop fear? We stop fear with faith. Amen? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. The more God's word that you have in you, the less fear you will have. The more what? God's word we have in us, the less fear we have. Well, do you know the number one thing the devil used to control people is fear. But you know, if you get God's word in you, he doesn't have that power of fear. So he will distract you to keep you away from the word, because if you get the word, then he has no more control. Then God has control. So what does he do? You're always afraid. Right? Why did you go down there? I was afraid. Trust God. Amen. God, how many know God's a keeper? Amen. God is a way maker. And he can make a way out of no way. Amen. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. The more God's word that you have in you, the less fear you will have. Keep the following example in mind when it comes to faith and fear. Faith and fear are like a teeter-totter or a seesaw. When your faith is up, then your fear is down. When your fear is up, then your faith is down. Alright? Please refer to the illustration. Well, what's the next page on the other one? On this notes, alright? What is your next page on the line? But you see the teacher taught us when faith is up, fear is where? Down. Then if your fear is up, faith is down. So who makes that decision where faith or fear will be? We do. Amen. We need to be the people of the word and people of faith, which is up, and not people of fear, which is down on the teeter-totter. God's word on a subject should settle the issue. How can you fear financial lack? Now, please pay attention to this, right? Because God will supply our needs. How can you fear financial lack when the word says, my God shall supply how many of our needs? So why do we as saints fear? Right? That's where we have more God's word. When we have more faith and feeling in God's word, then we become stagnant. We don't move. We don't do anything. As a matter of fact, in church, in God, you either go forward or you go backward. There's no such thing as standing still. So we can have more faith in our fears than we do in God's word. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply. How many of us really believe that? Not just wants. It's the difference between wants and needs. All your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How can you fear people? How can you fear when people come against you when the word says, Lord, we thank you. And if we ever get in a place of God where we allow our faith to overcome our fears, then we won't be afraid to do anything for God. There are a lot of people that won't get saved because they're afraid of what their loved ones are going to do. I know people that are in miserable situations, right? I've talked to them, miserable situations, but they won't make a move for God because of fear of what they might lose. Don't you realize anything you lose from making a stand for God, God will give you that and that much more? But we have to make a move, but fear causes us to stay in bad situations. Can we say for too long? Come on, for too long. You see, for years the thing is bad, they get out of it. But we have more confidence or faith in our fears than in God. So fear controls us instead of God. Amen. Just think about that. And I don't want to make no references. But just think about how long we stayed in a bad situation, knowing it was horrible, knowing you weren't going anywhere and were miserable. Right? I'm talking about miserable. No peace of mind, no joy, no excitement about service, no excitement about God. But we stayed in it not because of faith, but because of
fear.
That means we had greater confidence in our fear than we did in our faith. Amen. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's Isaiah 54:14. How can you feel the economic recession when Jeremiah says, you shall be blessed like trees planted by the rivers, and whatsoever rivers of water, whatsoever you do shall prosper.
Right,
so that's the key. That's the key to this. Right, that's the pivotal thing to this. You have to do what? Bishop went over this on Friday. He said, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth the fruit in season. Its leaf also shall not wither. And that's a blanket coverage. Whatsoever you do, shall we are what? He said, we are unstoppable. Amen. But let's read what Jeremiah says in verses 7 through 8. Now, up in verse 5, he's getting on them for having confidence and trust in man and trust in flesh. Fear is confidence in flesh. Faith is confidence in God.
Amen.
Fear is confidence in flesh. Faith is confidence in God. All right, so in your meantime, read Jeremiah 17:1-6. It talks about those that have confidence in man should be like you in a desert. Right, you don't have no peace. You don't have anything. But he says, verse 7, blessed is the man that what?
Trusts in the Lord.
Tonight, who are we trusting in? What are we trusting in? Are you trusting your job? Are you trusting security? Are you trusting in God? If you trust in God, then when he needs me, even if I don't understand, I still will follow. Right? So blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the water, that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not sink when he cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be killed in the year of that drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Why? Because our trust is in the Lord. But when you don't trust in the Lord, then we go to the flesh side of fear. When you trust in the Lord, you say, and we know that all things work together. Well, that's faith.
Fear said, I don't know. You ever talk to people that are so dismal? I just don't know how this is going to turn out. You do know how you're going to turn out if you trust God. Because he said we'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Can we all just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Do you see how we sometimes, how sometimes we have greater faith in our fears than we do in God's word? Remember that God's word on a subject should help us overcome the fear of what is trying to overcome us. Right? Our trust in God's word and believing God's word should help us overcome the fear that is trying to overcome us. Listen, every last one of us, if we're not careful and not stay prayed up, fear will try to dominate you. Fear will try to rule you. Fear will try to make you do something. Amen. Listen, fear won't change anything. The only thing that can change things is God. Amen? So it says, Romans, God's word states that we are what?
More than conquerors.
How many believe that? We are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Not conquerors through fear, but through who? Through God. Amen? Romans 8:37 says, they and what? Not something, but what? All these things. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The choice is between
faith
and fear. If you concentrate on fear, like Job, it will come upon you. If you have faith in God's word, his promises will become true in your life. Again, it comes down to choices. You can either have faith or fear. Now the question tonight is, which do you have? We must keep in mind that fear is not of God, for God has not given us the
fear
of fear. Amen. We know that's 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Yes, believe it or not, fear is a spirit. And if fear is not of God, then fear is a spirit from the evil one. So when we allow fear to dominate us, then who becomes our master? The devil. Right? Fear, when it dominates us, then the devil is in control because we don't trust God to walk by faith. There are so many good meaning saints that wind up in horrible situations because they don't want to walk by faith. And when you don't walk by faith, we walk by sight. And the book of Proverbs tells us that we should walk according to our own understanding, not to our own, he said, because in our own conceit. Alright? So when we start doing things based on our understanding, that's our conceit, that rivals God. When we walk by faith, we don't have to understand it, but we just have to believe. Amen? John warns us that fear has... You ever see some people that's just afraid of everything? Fear has torment. Faith in God, I don't understand it, but I trust you, and I know that if you're with me, however the situation is going to turn out, it's always going to be for my good. That's what faith tells me. In 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in
God.
And God is what?
Love.
So as long as you're in God, you don't have to be afraid or fearful. Yeah. Amen? But perfect love casts out fear. So if we stop here for a moment, if you have fear, then you're not in God like you ought to be. Because perfect love will do what with fear?
It'll
cast it out. Amen? Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Torment in this verse is the Greek word kolasis, which is defined as correction, punishment, or penalty. All right? So this torment means is correction, punishment, or penalty. Kolasis is also having an unworthy and misdirected fear of God. This inevitably justifies a person to avoid God's will for them or to try to circumvent his will for their lives. This type of fear will hold God's plan for them in while concluding that he's not adequate to meet their every situation. Keep in mind what we just read in Philippians 4:9. God shall supply all our needs. Colossians then brings a specific kind of torment. We must not dodge the battles God called us to. Let us live in the convenience and security of self-will or our own understanding. God has called us to do certain things, but we won't do it because we don't understand it. And because we don't understand it, we won't engage in the spiritual battle because of fear. Amen? If God has given you something, you don't have to figure out how you're going to do it. Just do it. And trust that God's going to make a way out of no way. But when you don't trust God, when you have fear, torment says, God can't do it. How many know God can do anything but fail? Yes. Amen? To evade obeying the duties of God, a sign brings inescapable dread or torment. We just read, fear brings what? Torment. About upcoming judgment from God. And this word Galatians is only used two times in Scripture, here and also in Matthew 26. But Matthew 26 brings out the torments better. Alright? So Matthew 25, 26 read, and these shall go away into everlasting torment, kolasis, but the righteous into life eternal. The summary, kolasis is a product of wrong fear about God, used to justify avoiding fellowship with God, finding his will to be undesirable, unbearable, overdrawn, etc. This brings on the torment or the dread of God's coming judgment. And the improper fear or fright of God always brings self-condemnation. You know, in dealing with people, you ever talk to people that all they do is condemn themselves all the time? Right? The Bible says there is therefore now. When? Now. There is therefore now. No condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you're in fear, you have condemnation because you're walking after the flesh. Right? When you don't walk after the flesh, you have no condemnation because you're walking in faith. And the Bible says, God did not come to condemn us. Amen? This brings our torment, dread, we might get that. All right. Of God also brings self-condemnation, which keeps us at an arm's length of God, as was the case with Esau. Esau spitefully went against God and disobeyed Isaac and Rebekah. Now, we all remember this. Genesis 26. All right? Genesis 26, 34 through 35. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which was a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. Then Genesis 28, 6 through 9 shows that he didn't do it by mistake, but he did it deliberately. Right? So when you don't walk by faith and you walk in fear or spitefully, you deliberately do things contrary to God. Amen? When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padanaram, and this is when he saw this Minister, when he saw that ladder he was ascending and descending on. Right? To take him away from this. Remember, because Isaac said, because Isaac and Rebecca told Jacob, he said, listen, you cannot marry or be involved with one of these evil women. So they sent him back to their family so that he wasn't involved with the evil women. And he was now blessed. Alright? Then as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padanaram. And Esau said that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. Then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughters of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebatah, to be his wife. Well, why do you do it? Spitefully. Right. So when you're not walking in God, you will do things contrary to God. You go opposite of God. You fight. said he knew that he wasn't supposed to marry them, but he said, I don't want to please my parents, so he does things spitefully. That's walking in the flesh, when you do things spitefully, man. Let's go back to our scripture text now that we have a better understanding of faith and fear in regards to what? One thing. So we know that the young man or the man comes to Jesus and says, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? All right, and Luke, it's still important to compare scripture because Luke 18 tells us he was a certain man, meaning he was one of the rulers, which means he had prestige. He was in a place of prominence. He was in a spiritual position, if you read Luke 18:18, all right? He said a certain ruler asked him. The very fact that he asked Jesus tells us something crucial. This man was successful and prosperous, but keeping the religious rule didn't give him joy. Does that sound like a lot of people in church? They do all the religious things, but they don't have joy. Amen. They don't have the joy of the Lord as their strength. He knew something was missing. That's why he asked him, good master. He went, did Jesus call him? No. And if you read, I believe in Mark said he went running to Jesus and kneeled down. So he knew he was desperate. You know, that's why he preached out. But Mark said he ran to Jesus and kneeled down. Right? Luke said he came to him. Either Luke or Mark. One of them said he ran to him. Right? I'm not sure which one. He knew something was missing. He just didn't know what it was. But he certainly knew it wasn't there. Have you been in his shoes? You're doing all the right things, but somehow life just isn't what it was supposed to be. You're not winning the race. Something is wrong. So this young man, this certain ruler knew something was wrong. So he goes to Jesus for help or for an answer. So if he knew something was wrong and something was missing, why would he go opposite of the direction that Jesus gave him? Because he went to him for help because he realized something was missing. 19 says, Jesus tells him thou knowest the commandment. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered his servant, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, now this beholding me, Jesus does, you know, not just he does it like in a haphazard way, but he does it in an endearing and caring way. So he says he's beholding him. He looks at him intently. Endearing, trying to let him know, I realize you need help. So now I'm going to give you the answer to what you need. So it's not like he just looked at him, but he says he's beholding him. It was not him intently. It was like a very, I don't want to explain it. Without being. Right? But he didn't just look at him. But it was like an intense, endearing, caring look, all right? He said, and he loved him and said unto him, what?
One thing that
I lack. He said, you've done all the religious stuff, but there's not enough. There's one thing that thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven exceed any treasure on earth. Because we got treasures in heaven, moth and rust, they cannot corrupt that. But we have treasures on earth, the Bible says, these can break one still. And moth and rust doesn't corrupt them. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, pick up thy, you got to be willing to suffer. And what?
Follow me.
Lack in Greek is hustero. H-Y is never high, H is F, you sound hustero. It's really a word that means last in line, behind all the others. Only one thing is in last place in this life, but that one thing steals all this man's joy. When Jesus tells this man what it is that is in last place, we suddenly see why he has no joy in his religious practice. His order of priorities is not the same as God's order. What God says is in last place, he counts as first on the list. So what he said now, Landy, he said, you're not prioritizing properly. should count what the things of God should be first. He said, but you got them last. So I need you to reverse the order. I need you to reprioritize your life because you're not in front, you're not walking in the right order. So what you esteem to be more important is the things that are not of God. So God said, get rid of the stuff that doesn't count and put me first. The man couldn't do that. Right? Because he had more concern with his possessions than he did with following God's instruction to keep God in the proper order. And he was standing to sin and went away grieved when he had. So the man could not reverse the order. That last means the things that was last should be first, and the thing that was first should be last. So what the Lord says is your possession should be last and I should be first. The man can change his order. So he kept his possessions. So that one thing caused him to do what? Walk away from God. One thing can take us to heaven. One thing can make us turn our back on God and go to hell. Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also they sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was coming about my servant, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is, how many things? Tonight, one thing is needed in all of my life. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, even though it's not stressed here, we know that they were all in the house worshiping Jesus, or working with Jesus. Mary sitting at his feet, Martha was busy working. It's like being in church. There's some people in church that are so busy working, but they never get in the word. So then, how can you be in the house with Jesus and still wind up missing it? Because their priorities were out of order. So Martha was more concerned about, I want to do this to please God so God can see it. Mary said, I just be humble and sit at his feet and hear his word. So we can all be in church, but when the word of God doesn't have the preeminence, when the word of God is not number one, I don't care how busy you are, you're still missing. Because God's word has to be number one. Amen? Dr. Lynn Bittlerner, author of the best-selling book, Body by God, makes an interesting observation about life. If you do not schedule your time, you will find that you have no time scheduled. You remember years ago when a bishop preached on prayer? He said, if you don't set time, because you can't make time. Right? You're like a lot of people that don't want to make time to do this. You remember bishop said, you can't make time because we don't have how many hours in a day? 24 hours. So since we can't make time, we have to set time. We have to schedule time. So Dr. Ben Lerner said, if you don't schedule time, you will find that you don't have time to schedule. Amen. Have you noticed, especially as you get older, time, you wake up in the morning and it's time to go to bed? Honestly. And the things that you thought you were going to do, you don't get them done because you did not schedule them. You have to prioritize. So he said, if you don't schedule time, you won't have the time to schedule. It's a matter of priorities. If we want a deeper spiritual encounter and walk with Jesus, then we have to have schedule. In other words, schedule time. Right? I don't know how to be writing so fast on this at all. What it means is you have to schedule time. Alright? So if you want a deeper spiritual walk, it's not going to happen just by chance. It's not going to just fall out to you, but you got to schedule time to be with Jesus. If we want to help your body, we have to schedule exercise. If we want to help your body, I guess we have to schedule to be vegans. In other words, you got to listen, it's not going to just happen. You got to schedule. Right? So whatever happens in life, you have to schedule. Amen? If we want a better relationship with the ones we love, we have to plan time. You have to do what? Schedule time. The pressure of this world, the pace of this life, and the constant confusion, bombardment of unimportant but necessary demands will drain away all your time unless you have unbreakable commitments to a schedule. Amen. You know, in dealing with Bishop and Dr. Austin, they believe in scheduling time. Amen. Bishop does not like anything not being scheduled, neither does Dr. Austin. Right? Because they're successful. Successful people realize the importance of scheduling time. It cannot be impromptu, and if it happens, it happens. Because that's what happened to our spiritual walk. It's just haphazard. We need to schedule time to pray. Schedule time to read our Bible. Schedule time to do things that are most needful for us to be spiritual. It's not going to just happen by itself. And you know, the devil will make sure it don't happen. Because he will keep you distracted and occupied with other things, okay? Prioritizing and scheduling your life and time is like a double line, yellow line when you're God. What does the double yellow line mean? The what? Don't cross the line. Right? Even though people don't realize it when they drive. Right? But that double yellow line means stay in your lane. Don't cross over. When you schedule your time, put a double yellow line around it. That means don't what? Don't cross over. Amen? We must make double yellow lines around those things that will help us to have a deeper spiritual encounter with Jesus. Once we make them, then do not cross over them. They are, when you schedule time with God, prayers, Bible reading, just meditating and worship, that's sacred time, right? Every day we should have some sacred time with God. Why? He woke me up this morning and started me on my way, so I thank Him. God has blessed me throughout the day, so I thank Him.
Yes.
Amen. I was driving down the road and almost had an accident and God made a way, so I thank Him.
Yes.
So we have to have some sacred time that we spend with God. They are sacred time set aside for the special purpose of doing what? Sacred time helps us to do what? Get closer to God. James 2:8-11, we almost finished. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, then thou shalt love thy as thyself, ye do well. But if you have, as bad to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressor. For whosoever should keep the law, yet offend in one thing. One thing. You can do everything, but one thing. And you know, this is how I believe many times in our spiritual life, we never reach the plateau spiritually that God wants us to be on, because we'll do everything, but we'll neglect the one thing. And that one thing causes us to fall short as far as God. And you know, it doesn't happen by chance, no. The devil knows that the one thing is going to cause you not to be effective for God. So he makes sure that thing is always there to prevent you, to distract you from being what God wants you to be. How many things is it? For him that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a
transgressor.
And the Bible said, killing, if you hate your brother and you mistreat your brother, that's still wrong. Right? In God's eye. That's not fulfilling the royal law, because you're supposed to love your neighbor as thyself. One thing he calls you to have favor with God, or one thing he calls you to what? Well, how many? One thing. Take a moment to consider your... Almost got one thing you got to fight. Amen. That's why Paul said, forget this one thing I do, what? Forget it. He said, I have to press. So when it comes to overcoming that one thing, is it easy? No. But in order for you to get victory, you got to fight that one thing. You got to press. Amen? Is your one thing drawing you closer to God, or is your one thing distancing you from your God and doing His will? Amen. Your mind, all of us got something that we have to battle to overcome. And Paul said, I have to press. It's not easy. I have to put forth maximum effort to overcome it. Can we all say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
One thing can change your life for the better or for the worse. One thing can draw you closer to God, or one thing can push you away from God. Who makes that choice? You do. Not, you can't blame it on people. We are free moral agents, and we make our own choice. The only way we can allow people to influence us is because of fear. Don't allow fear to cause you to go against God. Amen. Jesus said, you are to fear Him that is able to destroy the body and soul in Him, and fear not Him. Amen? So do we have any questions or any comments? Any questions or any comments? Do we have any questions? Zoe, you have a question? Zoe? You have a question? No, not tonight. Good job. Okay, if there's no questions or comments, let us all stand. One thing. Deal with that one thing. You know the one thing. Just like Job never verbalizes one thing, but that one thing manifests in itself. If you don't conquer that one thing will conquer you. Amen. If you don't conquer that one thing will conquer you. To walk in fear is to walk in the flesh. To walk in faith is to walk in God. Walking in fear is flesh. Walking in faith is God. Amen. Do we have anyone that needs prayer tonight before this message? Come on up. No, no. You're my faithful prayer. Amen. Is someone just anointed? Amen. Amen. You used to call and pray for grandma now. You don't pray for us no more.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this.